Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
How many chuggas before the choo-choo? It's divided us today. We get to the bottom of important things. My kids are going to ask me when I come home from work, what'd you do at work today, Dad? Well, chugga, chugga, choo-choo. Chugga, 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 choo-choo. It's three chuggas before the choo-choo. But a lot of you don't agree with me. John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, is joining us. How many chuggas before the choo-choo?
Two?
Chugga, chugga.
I guess two.
Chugga, chugga, choo-choo. That's what you're going with?
Yeah.
All right. Doesn't sound like that train's going very far.
No, I can talk Schoolhouse Rock, but I'm not good on chugga, chugga, choo-choo.
Oh, Schoolhouse Rock. I love those. What's your favorite Schoolhouse Rock?
When Franklin threw the interception.
I love that. I loved
that. Was that interjection? I think that was interjections.
Yeah. There's also Conjunction Junction, What's Your Function? Remember that one?
There you go. Yep.
Yep. The millennials don't know what we're talking about, which is okay.
There's your show for tomorrow.
All right. Let me make a note on that. Arizona State plays St. John's tonight, play-in game. And your bracket, did you pick the Sun Devils to advance?
I did. I think ASU is, you know, just a better team. You kind of have to assume that the way they've played lately is how they're going to play. I know they're a little bit Jekyll and Hyde, but, you know, if they play pretty close to their top end, they should beat St. John's.
Wilner, I look across the conferences and I look at, you know, basketball, only talking basketball here, but I look at the ACC. Top of the ACC is really good. Virginia, North Carolina, they've got elite players. The bottom of the league, middle of the pack, eh. The Big Ten's got depth, but I'm not sure the Big Ten has a Final Four team. But they might have a bunch of teams at the round of 16. What's it going to be for the Pac-12 this year in the tournament?
Boy, I mean, it's hard to envision. I think best case scenario is the Pac-12 gets one team into the Sweet 16. If I had to guess, I'd say Oregon's got the best chance. But, you know, with Washington in that 8-9 slot, having Carolina sitting there, that's a tough one to see, you know, break through to the second weekend. ASU could do it, you know, it wouldn't be all that surprising. But, you know, the fewer teams you've got and the lower the seeds are, the harder it is to get them through, right? I mean, you hit on the conference's problem. There's not quality at the top and there's not depth. You know, the best. You just look at there's no players that grab your attention. The best player has been out since December with a broken foot.
Yeah, it's a big problem for the Pac-12. You mentioned, I saw your tweet after the field came out, they've had three teams in the tournament, none of them better than the 8-9 matchup. And you look across the country, the optics on men's basketball, probably not as visible as the college football playoff, but do you think the rest of the country looks at the Pac-12 and sees a basketball conference that's struggling?
No question. And it started last year. I mean, it was the first major conference ever to not get out of the first round, to lose, have everybody lose their first games. That had never happened. And, you know, you kind of overlay it on with the football problems, and I think that you know, they kind of feed on themselves in terms of the reputation that the conference has right now. The only way to winning is the only way really to get out of it. And it also hurts the fact that the, you know, when you talk basketball, the two teams that folks in the Midwest and the East Coast and the South, the two teams they identify with the most, Pac-12 basketball, UCLA and Arizona, and they're both out of the tournament this year. And they both lost their first game last year. So neither of those two teams has won a tournament game now since 2017. And those are, you know, a lot of how folks identify with Pac-12 basketball.
I think the conference got kind of a nice break in Oregon winning the automatic bid. It allows them to get three teams in. But I also think, like, you know, I could see Utah State beating Washington. I could see Arizona State losing tonight. I could see Oregon getting beat by Wisconsin. What would an 0-3 performance do to the conference?
I mean, it's like, you know, instead of going 6 feet down, you're going 7 feet with the grave site. You know, it's really bad right now. And 0-3, I'm not really even sure it could get much worse. It would just more substantiate what people think and kind of tell everybody, you know what, last year wasn't a fluke. It's really as bad. I can't believe that it would go 0-3. I really can't. Yeah. But I also feel like if it's going to win one game, it can't, you know, ASU just getting into the round of 64 isn't enough. The conference needs to get a team into the round of 32. I think Oregon's got the best chance to do that. But, you know, at the same time, we saw last year, you know, anything can go wrong for this conference.
You point out in the piece that you wrote today, and for people who don't know, you need to follow John Wilner and read his Hotline newsletter whenever it comes out. And, you know, you point out that there are 9 Pac-12 teams that are very interested in the outcome of these NCAA tournament games. How do those other 9 benefit from the 3 that are playing?
So every game that you play is worth money to the conference. So, you know, well, let's take Oregon, for example, for your listeners. Just by being in the tournament, playing one game on Friday, Oregon has earned $1.8 million for the Pac-12 over the next 6 years. That money gets split up 12 ways. So it turns out to be about, you know, $150,000 per school. So the Ducks win one game, then that's another $1.8 million. And that then continues to get distributed. And the thing is that, you know, so many important pieces of major college football and basketball and the other sports, you know, they cost money, right? The little stuff costs money, and it's not necessarily TV dollars that we're talking about, but it is money that can fund support personnel. It's money that can help you have a little bit of control over your football and basketball schedules. It's money for retaining key assistant coaches. So, you know, every win that the conference can get is going to add basically $150,000 to every other school's budget over the next few years. And that's, you know, that's real money.
Yeah, and I was reading the story about Washington State having to fly, you know, commercial flights and getting stuck in Seattle and not being able to practice the next day. And I'm like, you know, $150,000 can pay for something.
Absolutely. And especially, you know, when on the big picture scale of finances, things aren't going great with, you know, with the Pac-12 networks and the fact that the Pac-12's competitors have the money to do things that some Pac-12 schools don't. And that's whether it's hiring coaches or recruiting or chartering, you know, support staff, strength coaches, dietitians, all that kind of stuff. If you don't have it and your competitors do, those competitors have an advantage in recruiting and they have an advantage in hiring coaches. And it all adds up, and it's very important for the final product.
Talking to John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News. You've got the admissions scandal involving a handful of Pac-12 universities. You've got the NCAA corruption, phase two of the corruption trial involving some Pac-12 universities, peripherally at least. How involved should conference leadership be with those things? Or do they sort of separate that from the athletics and go, hey, we only control what's happening on the courts and in the athletic departments?
Well, boy, the admissions scandal, that is one that's not really even athletics. And in a lot of ways, that's an academic side scandal. It's hard for me to figure out a way that the Pac-12 office could be involved in something like that. You know, when it comes to the FBI situation, there is a certain level of involvement, and you know, to a larger extent, men's basketball in general, there is a certain level of involvement the Pac-12 office could take, but that would require the schools being, you know, willing partners. I mean, there's nothing that says that the Pac-12 office can't advise schools on scheduling or advise schools on hiring practices, but it's a lot of it has to do with the campuses being willing to trust the conference office for you know, proper feedback and give and take. SEC does that. They advise their schools on men's basketball coaching hires, and I don't see why the Pac-12 couldn't do something like that.
Yeah, I love that you teased ahead. You've got a piece coming up on SEC basketball, and they have improved dramatically. Greg Sankey talked on this show about the scheduling parameters that the conference offered to the members, but the SEC has made a real effort to improve basketball, and it's showing by the tournament teams that are not just in the tournament, but highly seeded.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get that story written here in the next couple of days, but there's a lot going on. But basically, the SEC and the Pac-12 have flipped. 3 years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, Pac-12 had six or seven teams in the tournament. SEC had three, and they were all low seeds. And they made some real substantive changes in the way they went about things, both at the conference office and at the campus level. And the turnaround, I think, has maybe caught a few SEC folks off guard. They weren't expecting it was going to happen as quickly as it did. But it does serve as an example to the Pac-12 as to maybe what some of the options are out there in terms of, you know, trying to get the basketball product headed in the right direction.
John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News. Wilner, thank you for making time. I appreciate you, man.
Choo-choo.
There he is. A chugga-chugga-choo-choo guy, Wilner is. Follow him on Twitter. Read everything he writes. He's great at it. You can find him on Twitter at Wilner Hotline. Leave it here. Punch It Audio next. First day of spring. I love how yesterday on the show, I left kind of chuckling at us because yesterday on the show, Alabama Adriana revealed that she will be going to Miami for spring break. She's 24 years old. A lot of people called in yesterday, like 58-year-old guys called in to say, this is how you should spring break in Miami, telling millennial how to do it. And I left going, did we just do a radio segment on older men telling Adriana how she should spring break? I think we did. You still going? By the way, you got some patchouli oil on today.
It's Nag Champa, and I wear it all the time.
Bobby, can you translate that for me?
I cannot.
Walk outside of your studio right now, into the hallway. I just walked by the outside. Go outside your door and report back. He has now stepped 2 feet outside of his studio. He's coming back in. Bobby, are you feeling me now? Tell our listeners, Bobby, can you report what you just discovered?
Smells clean.
Yeah.
Smells clean.
It's not a bad smell.
No,
it's a really nice, pleasant smell.
Yeah.
But Adriana brought that with her today. What is that?
It's just an oil. It's like a perfume oil.
Where do you get that?
I got it at the mall.
You go to the mall and get some oil.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. You taking that to Miami with you?
Yeah.
Miami. I wasn't here for that conversation.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to Miami.
She's going to Miami. She's vowed to stay off the back of a motorcycle. That's the only thing because, you know, we just want. And by the way, as my wife pointed out this morning, my wife heard that yesterday that you're going to Miami. She sent you a news story this morning. Did she not?
She did.
What was that story about?
It was really sad. Like, this girl and her friends were on their way to the airport from Miami, and they had been there for a while, and so they were going home. And one of the girls was, like, leaning out the window, kind of hanging out the window, screaming, like, bye, Miami, whatever.
No doubt capturing it on Instagram or Snapchat.
Yeah, probably. And she fell out of the car and got ran over and died.
She fell out of the car, got hit by another car going the other direction.
Yeah.
And that was the end of spring break. Don't let that happen.
Well, I would hope not.
Dumb. Stay inside the car.
You won't be in a car when you're in Miami.
Hey, by the way, Miami, it's like filthy, and then it's beautiful, and then it's filthy, and then it's beautiful, and I'm talking about like every other step that you take in Miami. Am I wrong there?
I think it's one of the, you know, at her age, I'm telling you, she's going to have a great time.
Well, Bobby wants to go.
No, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I had my time in Miami, but I enjoyed it.
I went into a restaurant / bar in Miami when I was there years ago, and there was a beautiful woman on a swing that was hanging from the ceiling.
Nice.
And she was swinging back and forth over the tables as people were dining in this restaurant. She's just like dangling up there, swinging back and forth. I thought, that's a job. That's somebody's job. You had fun in Miami. I could tell something happened there.
Yeah, I did.
Let's talk about it. What happened in Miami, Bobby?
It's a fun. I did a job in Miami. I've been there a few times, but I haven't been there for spring break, but I know it's pretty crazy. But it's crazy when it's not spring break.
Yeah.
So if you stay down by the walk, and that's all you need.
Where are you staying? Do you know?
I have no idea. I'm not part of the planning committee.
You're not on the planning committee. Ooh, you better interject yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say, be part of that.
Better not be a bunch of 58-year-old guys making the plans here, because you're going to end up at the raggedy-ass pub or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of different places in Miami you could be staying in. He's right, though. He is. There's like the older crowd you could be next to, or
I'm going in a group of people my age.
No, I get it.
Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go to the raggedy ass pub and we're gonna smoke cigars all
week. But you also are on a budget, so where you stay is.
Should we do a GoFundMe with our listeners to fund Alabama Adriana's spring break trip?
No.
We could do that. That would be. I know people like would give. We've thrown away money on things that didn't matter as much. I know people that would gladly make a donation and be like, you know what? I want you to have a great time.
If someone wants to make a donation, I'm not going to stop you, but I'm just saying there are better efforts to raise money for.
All right, yeah, probably true. But there are also worse efforts.
Oh, she's going to have a great time. That's nice. I'm glad she's going somewhere fun for spring break.
Look at you.
Great. Yeah.
Wow.
What?
Putting your differences behind
what?
Each other. You guys are often at odds. Like, you can't agree on Chugga Chugga Choo Choo, but you want her to go and have a great time.
I do. At this age, I want her to go every chance she gets.
Why is that? Is it that you're living vicariously through her?
No.
Or?
No, I did it, and I had a great time.
Yeah. I told... there are certain milestones, aren't there, in life? I told my kid this morning, we were driving to her school, and she's a pretty responsible kid, and she was... she's 16. Yeah, I'm still driving her because she doesn't have her driver's license. But we're driving along, and I said to her, where do you want to go to college? And she went to a job fair yesterday at like the expo center and whatever. And she said, and here's one of my big regrets in life. I was a community college kid. Mm-hmm. Okay. I went to community college for a couple of reasons. I got into four-year schools. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was not that kid who had it figured out. My wife was like 9 years old. She knew she wanted to be a television broadcaster. That's what she wanted to do. She was locked in. She went and did it, won Emmys. You know, that's her thing. I had no idea what I wanted to do. I knew I was good at reading, writing. I knew that's where I got good grades, and it was easy for me. And I got admitted to UC Davis and Santa Clara and St. Mary's, and I was in. But I could not make a decision because I thought, I don't know what I want to do. I knew I wanted to continue to play some sports in college, but I was being told, hey, if you go to Santa Clara, you can walk on and play baseball. If you go to St. Mary's, you walk on. The coaches there were being very honest. They said, hey, you might play as a junior or a senior. You might, you know, but you're not a guy that we're going to give a scholarship to, but you're into school. You can come in, you know, come on out. I decided to stay home and go to community college. And it really wasn't a money decision. It was, I didn't know what I wanted to do, so what was the point? But what I regretted in that decision was, first of all, I have a tremendous amount of empathy for the community college kid mm-hmm. who goes on and, like, you know, joins a university later because I was that kid. But I also kind of felt like I missed out on being a freshman in a dorm.
You know, I went someplace every spring break during my college. Every spring break, I went someplace. And you and I, going our age, going to on vacation is totally different. I don't want to live vicariously through her. I'm just happy that she's doing it.
I don't need to throw up.
It's a totally different way. It's just a different way you vacation when you're that age and you just, you don't have, it's a different perspective.
Yeah,
and
it is. Was,
and so.
You're just going out. You're sleeping all morning. You're just going out at night. You stay out all night. You're having fun. As long as you're safe, I'm cool with it.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody.
Sometimes you might not be in safe environments. Just try and be aware.
But I didn't participate in spring break. Was my point as like a freshman or a sophomore.
That's too bad.
Because I was at a community college. My community college friends were all working. I didn't feel like I was part of the college experience until I went away to college. And then, you know, we did like the Lake Havasu or whatever thing where we went into Arizona and found some lake and just drank like a bunch of degenerates and fell off jet skis. But that was like junior, senior year. So I was thinking of my 16-year-old this morning. She was like, you know, I don't know what I want to do, Dad. I don't know where I want to go to college. And I just kind of shot back to her like, you know, we need to take some visits. Like, you need to go see some things. Because I want her to have a blast. But I also... I'm going to be that parent that's like handing her a police report for a horrific crime that has happened to like a young lady who went to college and saying, read this before you go off to college. That's just the kind of dad I am.
I think this is my first spring break that
ever?
I'm doing something like in a friend group and not like with my family or something.
Yeah, you should go do something.
Is there anybody in your friend group? Like there's always that person that everybody's cool with each other?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's that person.
No. I'm actually the outsider because it's my boyfriend's friends.
Okay.
So I'll be kind of with that group. But yeah, it'll be fun.
Do you like all of them? They're not listening.
I don't know if they're listening. I like all of them, yes.
You approve?
For the most
How could
part,
they not
yes.
like you? You know what I mean? How could you not want to hang out with Alabama Adriana in Miami on spring break? Awesome. Leave it.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.